This short lecture I've titled, God Can and Does Bless His People Now. The main reason for it is because for the past 4.5 years of the Foundation's existence, we have been getting hundreds and hundreds of letters from people telling us how much they have been blessed now that they know what a freedom in Christ really means. They're beginning to understand what the Bible is all about in the New Testament, particularly the last part of the New Testament where God Himself, through Christ and Paul and the others, showed clearly that God is not interested in ritualism or anything of that nature, but He's interested in love and concern for you, for me, and for Himself, as a matter of fact. Well, you know, a part of the blessings that God can give to us comes, all of them come from Him, but a part of them come because we ourselves are free and are able to be His sons and daughters the way He wants us to be. I think that one of the worst religious situations to be in is when someone is a member at this present time of what you might call an only true church on this earth. I'm not ridiculing anybody. I don't even want to attempt to do that. But you know, when you start talking about true churches and people think that they supremely think that they believe or belong to the an organization which is the only church of the living God, then all of a sudden they have to ask themselves a question if they start getting into difficulties with the people in that church. Where else can I go if I decide to leave? Where is a person's freedom in Christ, you see, if you don't have any freedom if you leave the true church of God? Well, there is a freedom in Christ. The Apostle Paul and others have made that quite clear. And I am quite convinced from the Scripture that it has nothing to do with whether you are in an organization or not. Granted, there are very pleasant organizations to be in, but does God's freedom in Christ, does the fact that you are a Christian depend on whether or not you are in some church organization or something like that? No, that is not true at all. In actual fact, when a person feels that he is in the only true church, he can be in great difficulties. It's quite true that Peter said to Christ, quote, Lord, to whom, he means to whom else shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, unquote. Now that's what Peter said to Christ when Christ asked him in John chapter 6, well, where else would you go, Peter? Peter could find only one place to go, to Jesus Christ. But you know, Jesus Christ is in heaven. He's living at the present time. He's active. He's here on earth in spirit. That's quite true. But we're not talking here about, when you talk of Christ, we're not talking about a church organization on this earth. We're talking about a supreme being who is in heaven under the Father. And it's true, you can't leave Christ and be anywhere. But it doesn't say anything about leaving a church organization. When, however, people assume that religious organizations or their environments represent the only way to salvation, one is found to be at their mercy if you don't watch it. In the time of Christ, the Jewish laymen, they feared more than anything else to be cast out of the synagogue. Don't you recall all of the scriptures about those events, particularly in the Gospel of John? John chapter 9, the whole chapter is about a man who had been born blind, and Christ came along and healed the blind man. And when he went around shouting for joy for his ability to see, he was brought before the synagogue rulers, some of the rulers of the Jews at the time. They began to criticize him because he was doing things on the Sabbath that he wasn't supposed to do, so they thought. Well, they finally brought his parents in to ask them if the man, or now a man, but when he was born, was he born blind? And they testified that he was. But if you'll read John chapter 9, verse 20 to 23 very carefully, it says that the parents said, well, now, you ask him, he's of age about all of these things, because they were afraid of being tossed out of the synagogue. Now, that's what it says right there. Now, back in that environment, in the time of Christ, if you were cast out of the synagogue, that meant you were excommunicated from Judaism. Where, pray tell me, could you go to buy food? Where could you go to socialize? What could you do in that land, you know, to be able to survive as an ordinary human being if you were cast out of the Judaic society at the time? The only thing you could do is to move out of the country or somewhere. But who could afford to do all of that in that period? So you see, they were very, very concerned about staying with the authorities and not rocking the boat so much. Judaism, as good as it was or as bad as it was still a true church type of religion. And when you get people in control of things like that, you're going to find that they will control you and your mind in almost every way. It is not a pleasant environment in which to exist. If you ever ruffle the feathers of any of them, then you could be considered an excommunicate. You would be socially outcast. People would look upon you with great disdain. And since they believed that only the true church people or the people of God were being involved in this, and you were now cast out, obviously, you're bound to get some kind of diseases. You're going to have great calamities occur to you. Curses are absolutely going to be your part. I mean, there can't be any question about it, because God himself would be heaping them all on you because you have left the environs of the true church or the true religion and all of that. So you can imagine what it was like when the parents of the man born blind felt a difficulty there, because they didn't want to get tossed out of the synagogue. So they said concerning their own boy, they said, "You ask him, he's of age." Well, when he came along, he just told them the truth. Jesus was the one who healed me and made me see. And you know, they couldn't actually go against that, could they? Well, what if someone leaves a true church, any type of a true church? And you know, I would say it's beautiful and wonderful if that so-called true church is not teaching the basic principles of Christianity, or shall we say the laws of God, the teachings of God. When I say laws of God, I'm not talking about rituals. I'm talking about love, faith, goodness, all of these major laws, which are far better than rituals. Well, what would happen if you found an organization, no matter how true it might appear, and it wasn't going in the right direction from the divine revelation as far as you could see? Well, I know what Peter did. When Peter saw Jesus Christ resurrected from the dead and the other apostles, when they began to preach and teach in Jerusalem, you know, on the day of Pentecost, well, they were going against and contrary to the basic teachings of Judaism at the time. In a sense, they were leaving the true church, and they were telling other people to get on the bandwagon of where the Messiah really was and who he was and what he was. John left the true church, so to speak. Paul left the true church, much to his harm when you really look at it, because of the persecution and things like that that transpired afterward. In fact, Peter, John, Paul, and all of them had to suffer persecution. Why? Because they left the true church at the time. But they were accepting teachings which were coming from Christ. Now, did Paul, Peter, John get afflictions, and did they die all of a sudden? Did they get all types of curses heaped upon them? Well, obviously not. They got persecutions. That's quite true. And, you know, you find that in the Scripture. But how many of them all of a sudden now began to get the afflictions of Job upon them because they left Judaism or something of that nature? No, there was nothing bad about Judaism in itself. Well, there were some problems. Granted, when you always get human beings involved, you will have problems. But on the other hand, there was nothing basically wrong with Judaism. The only thing is they weren't accepting the truth of Christ. And as time went on, I mean the people, and as time went on, they didn't realize the freedom that could be in Christ. But Peter, John, and Paul, and the rest were preaching and teaching the freedom that could be in Christ. And it means you could leave the bounds of Judaism, the organization, even the synagogue, if you wished. Or you could stay within. That's quite true. But look at all the history of the past. I mean, even in the Bible. Abraham, at 75 years of age, left his standard way of living, his religious affiliations that he had had with his own family, and went to a land where he was alone. He left, in a sense, the true church. David fled from Israel's society at the time of Saul. He had to flee from the government that was there because he was out of line, shall we say, with the teachings of the true organization, you know, the true Israel. Jeremiah was accused of betraying Judah time and time again and going over to the Babylonians. He, in a sense, was accused of leaving the true church. Christ was crucified. Our Lord himself was crucified because he went, in a sense, against the teachings of the true church. Now, of course, all of these men here, Abraham, David, Jeremiah, Christ, our Lord Christ himself, and many others that we could mention, were going against the common, ordinary way of looking at things because they had greater knowledge, understanding of the truth, and I think a love for people in their hearts. But I ask you this, did Abraham get sick all of a sudden because he left his former ways of life? What about David? Jeremiah lamented quite a little bit. He cried a lot over the whole situation, but I don't see that he was getting sick or something like that because he was following God. And Christ Jesus himself though he was a frail individual, as we pointed out in many of our writings, and the Bible says that, still at the same time, just because he was the one who went contrary, shall we say, to the ways of society at the time, and frankly, he was crucified for it, but look what happened to him afterward. He was given a glorified body, and where is he now? He is in charge of all the universe under God the Father. And all of these things are ours. They are there as an example for all of us. And you know, most of the people of the past who have done any good have left what you might call true organizations that failed to grow in grace and in knowledge. But you know, God can give us all types of blessings. It says in 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 8 that God is able to raise up from the dunghill, the dung heap, someone and put him amongst princes. In a single day that has happened in the past. You recall over in the 41st chapter of the book of Genesis how Joseph, who had been accused falsely of things and was in a dungeon for 2 years. That's how it was one night. The next morning, you know where he was? He was right under Pharaoh himself, sitting on the throne of Egypt. Who put him there? God did. And you know, he had to suffer, that's quite true, for some time. But God was allowed him to come to great positions of power. I know all types of people that have left true churches at this time. One man in particular, a great friend of mine, was wanting to be a forest ranger at one time. Finally went into the true church, became a minister in the true church. All hope of becoming a forest ranger was out of the question. He saw the doctrines of the so-called true church to be wrong. He got out of that true church with his wife. You know what he had to do to earn a living for his family? I'll tell you, I still admire him to this day for it. He went out and washed windows. That's what a former minister did. Went out and washed windows to be able to earn a living for his family working with his hands. And to me, I can't think of anything better for a man to do if he wants to earn a living for his family. He read the scripture where it says anyone who doesn't support his family is worse than an infidel, and he went out and tried to do what he felt was right. And you know what he is doing right now? It was no hope whatsoever for him to be a forest ranger. That's exactly what he's doing right now, and that's a fact. God has been able to raise him back. I know a man who was practically of captain rank on a major airline. He got out because he went into the true church. He finally, so-called, he finally found the true church, in his judgment, wasn't quite as true as he thought. He had to get out. He had to give up some things. But you know what he's doing now? He's right back to flying private airlines, that's right. But he has better now, he tells me, than he ever has had in his life. I know some people who say that gain is godliness. You know, the more money you get. Well, I don't look on that as being proper, because even the Apostle Paul said at the end of the age, you know, people would say the more money you get, the more godly you must be. Godliness is gain, remember? Well, I know all of that. But I'll tell you this, I happen to know some fine men who were former ministers of a former true church, and they were getting not too bad of salaries, but not too good. And you know, within 2 years to 3 years after they got out, they were making sometimes 10 to 20 times, I suppose, what they were making before. You talk about godliness as gain, I'm sure those men wouldn't say that's the truth, you know, just because you make extra money. But what I'm trying to say is they should have been cursed. They should have been having diseases. They should have been having all of these difficulties. But I'll tell you what these men did. I'm not saying they're all perfect. I'm not perfect either. None of us is, are we? Of course not. But I'll tell you this, they would prefer to be free in Christ and to have their teaching, the teachings of the Bible, in a freedom rather than being in slavery, and they have been tremendously blessed as a result of it. And I can say this for my own self. You know what I've wanted to do, Ernest Martin, for years and years and years, though I did not have the foundation for biblical research on my mind, I mean precisely, but the thing I've always wanted to do is simply to understand the Bible as best I possibly can, its history, its chronology, its doctrines, and to be able in love to give it to others, because I'm basically a teacher. I've always wanted to be a teacher. I'd like to be a historian. And you know, I got out of a so-called true church, a fine church in one way if people want to be in it. That's quite true. That's their business. I'm not, whatever church a person wants to be in is what they want, is all right with me, as far as I'm concerned. I said a fine church, well, you can go ahead and evaluate it as you please. But I'll tell you this, I have no animosities toward anybody in that church or in any other organization. But you know, isn't it amazing to me? I'm doing the very things I have wanted to do for years and years. And you know, I may die tomorrow, but if I do, I'm dying happy. That's all I can say. What I'm trying to say is this. There is a freedom that God gives us in Jesus Christ. And it's not leaving any organization on earth that makes any difference in the world. But there is Christ Jesus in heaven. it's important that we have our eyes focused 20/20 upon Him and upon His ways and upon the Bible which He has given to us. We may not understand it completely, but I'll tell you, we can understand Him. I hope we can. He wants us to have a freedom in Him. And let's not leave Him, but remember, God can bless us. He can raise us up out of the dunghill and set us amongst princes.